You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.
Off message today to start the year. I was impressed with Isaiah 60. And the first part of Isaiah 60 says to rise and shine, for your light has come. Now, when you think of the prophets in the Bible, there tend to be very direct. Some parts of Isaiah, the prophet is calling out sin. He's calling out, just all the negative things of the nation. But at the same time, then he's also pronouncing incredible blessing. And that's the thing about someone who's got a prophetic bent. They tend to be a little bit black and white. They tend to be a little bit more direct. Some people have accused me that sometimes I'm a little bit more direct. Maybe part of my time living in the United States of America, those 14 years, because Americans tend to be a little bit more direct. Maybe I picked up a bit of that. Maybe it's just my personality. I think I'm a little bit prophetic myself. And so, you know, if I've ever been too direct with you, I'm sorry. But there's something about Isaiah where you see these passages where they're really strong negatively, but then really strong positively. And here's the thing about if you ever come across a direct person, and that is when they give you a compliment, it actually means something because they're just not saying it. Because if they weren't really going to give you a compliment, because they're direct, they wouldn't be saying it. And this is the attitude of Isaiah. Now, this is quite a long chapter, okay? So I'm just like warning you because I want to read the whole chapter. I believe it's good to get into the Bible and read the scriptures and not just do one or two verses. And then I'm going to boot off of that, of eight things that I think that we as a people here and as a church should rise up in 2018. So hang on, the words will be on the screen, but I'm just warning you, it's going to take us probably 3 or 4 minutes to read through this, okay? Arise and shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth and thick darkness the people. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your son shall come from afar, and your daughter shall be carried on the hip. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exult. Because of the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered to you. The rams of Naboth shall minister to you. They shall come up with acceptance on my altar, and I will beautify my beautiful house. Who are these that fly like a cloud and like doves to their windows? For the coastland shall hope for me, the ships of Tarshish first, to bring your children from afar, their silver and gold with them, for the name of the Lord your God and for the Holy One of Israel, because he has made you beautiful. Foreigners shall build up your walls, and their king shall minister to you. For in my wrath I struck you, but in my favor I have had mercy on you. Your gate shall be open continually. Day and night they shall not be shut, that people may bring to you the wealth of nations with their kings led in procession. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve you shall perish. Those nations shall be utterly laid waste. The glory of Lebanon shall come to you, the cypress, the plane, and the pine, to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. The sons of those who afflicted you shall come bending low to you, and all who despised you shall bow down at your feet. They shall call you the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas you have been forsaken and hated, with no one passing through, I will make you majestic forever, a joy from age to age. You shall suck the milk of nations. You shall nurse at the breast of kings. And you shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Instead of bronze, I will bring gold. And instead of iron, I will bring silver. Instead of wood, bronze. Instead of stones, iron. I will make you overseers, peace, and your taskmasters, righteousness. Violence shall no be heard in the land, devastation or destruction within your borders. You shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise. The sun shall be no more your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give you light. But the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun shall no more go down, nor your moon withdraw itself. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of mourning shall be ended. Your people shall be all righteous, and they shall possess the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I might be glorified. The least one shall become a clan, and the smallest one a mighty nation. I am the Lord. In its time, I will hasten it. Beautiful passage of scripture. When we look at that, it's speaking to the nation of Israel, but it's also not just talking about the restoration of Israel, but it's actually talking about the fourth chapter. When we talk about the story of God, we talk about creation, fall, redemption, and restoration. You'll see that some of these prophecies are for here and now, but some of them are looking forward, actually. When you see the passages when it says that there's not going to be any more light, that God will be the light, that mirrors what we see in the book of Revelation in the final time, that the light of God will be our light. And so you see these parallels. Nonetheless, what we do see in these scriptures are what the unfolding of the kingdom of God is like. And so however much of it we are going to experience now on earth, and then how much we will experience at the second coming when Jesus sets up his glorious kingdom in fullness, at least we know the path that we should be on. And it's interesting when we think of this arising and shine, it's not the message. This is not the gospel. The gospel is not, hey, you know, God wants you to do better. Go do better. Go do better. That's not the gospel. Here it says the reason why we arise, the reason why we seek God, the reason why we want to see the kingdom of God manifest, arise and shine. Why? Because your light has come. God is the first action. Not us. It's not about our attempt to get God to move. God has moved. We just celebrated Advent when God sent his son into the earth to be with us, to live with us. Everything that we do in our faith is a reaction to the grace of God. And when we impact, and we have the true grace of God impact our lives, it does cause us to respond. We haven't received the true grace if there isn't a true response. Because when people see and feel and we feel what God has done for us, the next step is, thank you, God. I want to live for you. It's service out of thanksgiving, not to get something, but because you've gained something freely by grace. And when I think about this passage about arising and shining and about just beginning the year, is this for us, this is our first service of the year, I'm thinking, what might this mean for us? And so I began to just pray a little bit and ponder a little bit of some of the things that I believe this could be for us. And if you're new to ENGTA, you can apply it to your life. Or if you're part of another church, you can apply it in that way. But here are some things, eight things that I'm looking forward to, and I'm sure there's more. First of all, I want to arise and shine and see that we can establish more homes in the greater Toronto area as outposts of places, of kingdom outposts and places of a belonging. Psalm 68, verse 6 says that God places the lonely into families. And we see in the book of Acts that when the original church, the original Christians set up the church, you looked at it and you saw a pattern there. And it wasn't just coming to church on Sunday. It wasn't, that was part of it. Yeah, they gathered together and from house to house. But their faith was lived out throughout the week, and they connected with one another also during the week. And this is the pattern of the early church. I want to read it to you. Acts 2:42, it says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and held all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings, distributing them, the proceeds to all, as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So it's the apostles' teaching, number one, that set up what the kingdom of God is supposed to look like. Why are you gathering? You are gathering with this view in mind, that this is what the kingdom of God is. This is the king that we're following and the kingdom we're trying to manifest. And so the apostles' teaching were first. But it's interesting that the next thing was fellowship. It was actually just being together. Today we might say, after the apostles' teaching, they were committed to the apostles' teaching and to hanging out. Committed to hanging out. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to hang out. It's a good, you know, one of the things that's so interesting with the urbanization in the world, more than half the world's population now lives in a major city, and it's increasing. More than 100,000 people move into Toronto every single year. The amazing thing about it was that if you take actual statistics and polls of the people, the more we've become urbanized, the more lonely the people have become. Isn't that interesting? That in the rural settings with the more small town community where there was less people, people rarely said that they were lonely. But you go to a big city where there's people everywhere and loneliness is rampant. I believe that God wants us to solve that, to be at least part of that solution. To be part of that solution. That's why, I mean, we want to see an expanse of the using of the homes, of our homes in 2018. It's good now, but I believe there's another level that we can go to. Some of you, it's time to open up your home. Some of you is to overcome after a long day's work. You're tired. I get it. The last thing you want to do is go hang out. A lot of times you want to just, you know, binge watch a television show or something and then go to bed, right? But I just exhort you to rise up and say, hey, if there's a connection point, if there's a small group, if there's someone's home that you can go to, and it doesn't just have to be, official small groups, but that should lead to more community and bring others into it. Let's establish more of that. I believe that that's one of the ways that God would have us to rise in 2018. Secondly, as a church should become financially self-sustaining. This is just a very practical one. We relaunched this church Easter 2013, so we're coming up on 5 years. And to make this go, it's been a combination of the faithfulness of the giving of the people and the faithfulness of these guys here raising outside funds to also make this happen. And each year, we've been doing better. Last year, 80% of our finances was internal. In other words, and only 20% from fundraising. But I believe that God would have this church go to that final step and say, hey, we are self-sustaining here. We're not asking other churches and other moms and dads and aunts and uncles and people. We are just going to that next level. For some of you, it just means starting to give. For others, you know, we need to believe for jobs. You know, we have several people who have graduated now, but they're waiting for their job. To press in prayer in this week, I believe, and to say, hey, let's believe that there shall not be a needy one among us. Let's believe that there shall not be a jobless one among us. Number three, I'm going to keep going on these. Expand our demographic. We've done a good job in establishing an outreach to the campus. When I first came here 5 years ago, there was only a couple students, maybe three, four, five, just a handful of students. Now we have lots of students, and which is wonderful. That's part of the EN value. I have the mission statement of our global family called Every Nation, and here it is. It says, we exist to honor God by establishing Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, socially responsible churches and campus ministries in every nation. That's our mission together. We're in 84 nations right now, and we're believing to go to more. And so we've done, I think, a pretty good job. We're on our way. We still got a long ways to go. I mean, think of it. There's more than 60,000 students on the campus that we're meeting on. And so, you know, I'm not saying, hey, we've done it. Not at all. There's still much work to be done. The other thing that I think that we've done pretty good, and that is in reaching millennials. It's a big if you look in pastors' journals right now, you will see that the millennial generation is one of the least represented generations in the church right now, even though that they are the largest demographic, eclipsing baby boomers. So close to 30% of the population are now what are known as millennials, people born between 1982 and the year 2000. So just as a poll, if you're born in between 82 and 2000, just I have to put my hand down. So so lots of hands went up, right? When Sheila and I came to, wait, some of you are laughing because the husband won and the wife not. Okay, it's okay. Don't. I'm not trying to cause marriage conflict here or anything like that, or making you feel too old or too young. It's just a thing. Okay. When Sheila and I first came here, we thought, what kind of church do we want to do? So we're in our 50s. Okay, I'm not a millennial, in case you were wondering, but. Our kids are millennials. So most of the time, your main demographic of your congregation is going to be 10 years older. So if you have a 40-year-old pastor, the most of the congregation is going to be between 30 and 50. If you have a 30-year-old pastor, most of the congregation is going to be 10 to 40, okay? If you're a 60-year-old pastor, they're going to be 40. And we didn't want that. We said we believe that we had been called to mentor and raise up the next generation, not to just sort of attract our own demographic, okay? And when we realized some of these sad statistics of millennials, and I just want to show you a few things, and I couldn't find some Canadian statistics, but I know that for the most part, American Canadian are pretty close in many of these research reports. But only 2 in 10 Americans under 30 believe attending a church is important or worthwhile, an all-time low. 59% of millennials raised in a church have dropped out. 35% of millennials have an anti-church stance, believing the church does more harm than good. Millennials are the least likely age group of anyone to attend church by far, Barna Research Group, 2014. By God's grace, he has helped us overcome some of these negative statistics. And I think that now that we have got a foothold in the campus and we've got a foothold among millennials, I believe in 2018, it's time to expand. I believe that we need to believe God for people of all ages in this church. That we'll see people in their 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s become a part with us in this church. Secondly, that there will be even people from more backgrounds, more nations. You know, we have a lot of Asians. We have a good number of Africans now. But I believe that we're even going to see more. We're called every nation, right? We don't want to have false advertising. We're called every nation. We're passionate about the nations because I believe God's heart is for the nation. The one time that Jesus got really, really mad and took a whip and cleared everybody out of the temple was when he said, my Father's house is supposed to be a house of prayer for just the Jewish people. No, for all the nations, all the people. But you've made it a den of thieves. You've made it something else. And so I want us to just in this year to even believe that more wonderful diversity will be seen in this place. And if you're the only one, or maybe there's ones and twos from your particular background, you're the key to more, right? Because you have the most immediate connection. You know, people, you know, who are Canadian born from the west coast of Canada, I have a better connection to, just because we like salmon. And and whatever. So we have things to talk about. You understand how that works. And then finally, yeah, even more Canadians. So, yeah, that's it. Next, number 4, believe for other campuses and cities. We reached out at the beginning of this year and even had a couple small groups in Scarborough. For those of you who remember our congregational meeting last year, we were going to test the waters there. We didn't feel like we had critical mass to launch a church on that side of the city. We're looking at maybe some more small groups we'd like to start. But we want to keep keep looking and keep reaching out. And one of the places that we're going to reach out to in this year is Waterloo. We have quite a few connections of siblings, of people here, and even some, at least we get one young person who's been accepted there that I know of. So we'll see where that happens. I'm going to be taking some trips out. We have a lot of contacts out there. But I believe that the vision that we have here is that this would be a prototype, not an end game. There are so many campuses and great cities and just in Southern Ontario. When you think of, you know, Kingston, and when you think of London, and when you think of Guelph, and you think of Hamilton, and you think of Ottawa, and you just think of all these places with wonderful urban centers with amazing university campuses. We want to reach out into those places as well. The other thing we want to do is expand online too. Thank you everybody last year who contributed to our switcher and our camera gear. Now we're able to go Facebook Live. We're doing that right now. And I believe that we can even increase our online audience as well. So if you're online, hi. Fifth, bring healing to the darkness of anxiety and depression. And I want to pick that this up right back from our scripture that we read today. Isaiah 62, verse 2 says, "Behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the people. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen in you." Something that's another issue, especially in high-pressure cities, is mental illness, or just, you know, every day, you know, having a down day or having, you know, increased stress or anxiety. That is a reality. I believe that's part of the darkness, but I believe that it's part of what God is calling us to minister to and to become more skillful in. I love the message that was given a year ago summer by Lucas. You can find it online on lament of how we are supposed to take our complaint to God. We are supposed to process our pain before God and before others. And I don't think Christians have been very good at it. In the last number of years, and even the worship songs, it's kind of what I call happy day Christianity, where like every day is just a happy day. Well, that's not, why then was Jesus himself a man of sorrows and acquainted with the grief of life? Every day is not a happy day. Every day is with God. But every day is not necessarily a happy day. That's a day where we cry out to God, where we give our complaint to him. A third of the Psalms are Psalms of lament and complaint, and where we're anxious and we're angry and we're upset, but we're processing that pain before a God who can handle it. And I believe that God would have us as a congregation just be more enlightened in this area and grow in this area. Depression and anxiety, it can be just like a dark tunnel. If any of you have ever suffered, you know what that's like when it's difficult just to rise to get out of bed in the morning, when just to have the emotional capacity to move forward in life, or maybe in the night, you know, there's just an inability to sleep, and that anxiety just hits you at night. I believe that God wants to not only minister to us, but he wants us to bring healing in greater capacity to these areas. I'm so grateful for even the testimony today. Six, very practical. I believe that it's time to grow our volunteer and ministry teams. There's this economic principle called the 80-20 principle. The Italian economist Pareto came up with this. The idea is that in any organization, 20% of the product brings 80% of the profit. 20% of your whatever. In a church, it would be like 20% of the people do 80% of the work. 80% of the giving is done by 20% of the people. I do not like that. I just don't like it. I mean, I know it often falls into that in all of life, and I know that there's something to that for whatever reason, but I just don't want to be an 80-20 church. I'm sorry. I don't want to be a 20% of the people give all the money, 20% of the people do all the serving, 20% of the people, you know, open up their homes, 20% of the people, and we're beyond that, so this isn't like some rebuke or anything. We're actually way beyond that, but I'm just saying, wouldn't it be great to just flip that? That 80% of the people are involved. 80% of the people serve. 80% of the people are opening up their lives to others and connecting. 80% of the people. Anyway, Maybe that's part of that edgy prophet piece coming out of me right now. But I'm not taking it back. Okay, number 7. Trust God for greater release of signs and wonders. We looked at a little bit of that in the early church, Acts 2, 42 through 45. But another scripture that I just love is Mark 16, 17, and 18. It says, "These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. If they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover." Now, this picking up serpents with that, it doesn't mean that we're going to be trucking in a, you know, pack of snakes and all picking them up in church service. There's actually some people that have misinterpreted this to think that that's what they're supposed to do at church on Sunday, okay? But they're very few and far between, thank the Lord. You see what this means in the early church if you follow the Apostle Paul and his missionary journeys. There was a time where they were warming themselves on a fire and a viper, a poisonous snake, bit Paul and he shook it off and the people thought, uh-oh, he must have done something bad because he's going to be dead in a few minutes because they knew the type of snake that bit him. But in his pursuit of doing the kingdom of God, everybody was amazed because he did not die. He did not die. So it does not mean, I don't know what the 21st century interpretation of that mean, but maybe there'll be something when we're doing the work of the Lord where there's something that we're unknown of, a virus or something, we can trust that maybe God can supernaturally protect us. But nonetheless, there are many things that say, wow, you know, there's going to be signs. We believe in apologetics here. We do that and we teach that, but there's no other apologetic better than "I was healed" when someone prayed for me in the name of Jesus, or "I couldn't sleep at night at all and was tormented and someone prayed for me in the name of Jesus and now I sleep like a baby." There's no evidence like the evidence of impacting and encountering the living Christ, the Lord Jesus. And finally, number 18, I put "what else?" You see, because a body is not one member, but it's many. It's not about the pastor or Rich or whatever, getting all these words for 2018. I just shared some things that were stirring in my heart from my perspective. But this is going to work because all of us hear God. All of us are saying, wow, I've got an idea. I've got an idea. I think we need to step out in this. I think we need to step out in that. 1 Corinthians 12, 13 and 14 says, "For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greek, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of the one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but many." And really, the advance of what we encounter this year in this church, in this place, or whatever, if you're visiting here, whatever church you're a part of, is not just going to be how amazing, you know, the pastor preaches or how amazing the worship, and I hope it's amazing this year, but really, at the end of the day, it's the people of God rising up. It's the people of God who pray. It's the people of God who hear God. It's the people of God who are authentic disciples of Jesus. It's the people of God who are reaching out. It's the people of God who are expanding and growing spiritually and taking another step. And I want to encourage you, if you've known Jesus for a year, believe that at the end of this next year, you will know him more, that you will know him more, that you will be stronger, that you will be more mature. I've seen this because I have been around a lot longer than most of you. And I've had people come up to me and said, "Yeah, I've been a Christian for 15 years, but the fact of the matter is, no, you're not really 15 years in the faith. You're 1 year in the faith, repeated 15 times. That's going in the wilderness around another lap is not what we have. At the end of the year, we want to look back at our lives and we say, "Jesus, I know you more. Jesus, I know more of your power. Jesus, I know more of your love. Jesus, I've discovered more of my gifts and I'm implementing them more. I am making an impact with those around me in a greater way." I want you to believe that in 2018, each one of us would go to the next level. That's what I'm praying for all of us, for all of us. And I believe that there's many ways that God would have us to rise and shine. And I just want to give you liberty to hear God and step out in faith. You know, if there's something that requires the money of the people or everybody working together, well then, yeah, coordinate it through us. But what would happen if in this week of prayer and fasting, every person got a fresh word from God and said, wow, I got my marching orders for 2018. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for yet another year, Lord, where we can praise you, where we can worship you, where we can live for you, where we can grow in you. And God, I just shared a few things that we're believing for as a church family, but there is many more because we know that you are an infinite God. And Lord, even now, God, as we enter into this fast, as we pray and fast starting tomorrow, God, would you speak to us? God, would you give us words? Would we hear your voice? God, would we be stirred? God, would you move in our lives? Lord, would you would move in our church, you'd move in our city, you would move in our province, and you'd move in our nation. And Lord, that you would move in the nations of the world. God, I believe that you're just in this hour, Lord, you're speaking to people and you're causing your body to arise like never before. And I'm just so grateful and thankful for that, Jesus. I pray that in 2018, we would see breakthroughs. We would see even financial breakthroughs, God. Lord, for those of you who've been just, Lord, it's been seemed like they're just at a wall, Lord, with their work situation or job. Lord, that this would be a breakthrough for them, Lord. And God, others have been struggling with their health. Lord, there's a nagging health issue. Lord, we're trusting you, Lord, for a healing breakthrough. Or whatever it may be, God, we look to you. We trust you. We commit this year once again anew and afresh to you. In Jesus' name.
You've been listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. Thanks for joining us. For more information, visit our website at everynationgta.org.